is Robert Stark. I'm joined here with Tila Tequila. Tila, it is great talking to you.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for having me on.
And I'm also joined here with Alex von Goldstein.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be on with you, Tila.
Hey, Alex.
I'm very excited to talk to you.
Likewise.
Tila, to kind of get things started, we're going to be talking about how your political views have evolved, but to start from kind of the beginning, is you were basically one of the kind of original social media celebrities. Can you talk about how your career got started? I remember you were big when MySpace was around.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty crazy how everything's gone full circle, really. I was literally the first person to kind of catapult social media into what it is today. I mean, if it wasn't for what I did on MySpace and how I, you know, did everything I did on there, it wouldn't be like it is today on social media. So it's been a crazy ride, you know, and I did a lot of things in Hollywood and a lot of things that I'm actually against today. So that's what's funny about this whole thing.
You went full circle. So, like, what do you mean by you're against things you used to do? Like, what are you referring to there?
Coming full circle. Well, you know, I had to start out, you know, in Hollywood, and I had my first reality show on MTV, which was, you know, an actual show about being bisexual and finding love with a guy and girl. And, you know, I went through all kinds of things that I kind of speak out against now, because people look at my Twitter and they're like, wow, you're such a hypocrite, you know, this coming from somebody who's blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, yeah, but at the same time, I experienced all of this, and I was able to step out of it with my own conclusions to say that this is not okay, and this is, you know, what I'm more for, you know, about today. So I basically come full circle with, you know, going through all kinds of the degenerate episodes, you know, being unaware of myself and being really degenerate, and then having to come back full circle and, like, you know, redeeming myself.
Yeah.
Well, was this kind of a gradual, like, change, or was there some, like, specific turning point when you were, like, saying, this is, like, really degenerate, I'm going to become, like, do a complete, like, 180?
Well, I mean, for a while there, I kind of, you know, went off of my soul purpose, my life path, like, and I felt it. As I started, you know, selling my soul out for a few gigs here and there, I felt like, this is not what I stand for. And then, as the more people surround you with more money, more fame, your own voice starts to get lost in all that ruckus, and you're no longer yourself. So I felt like this is really immoral. Like, it's just not who I am. It's not what I'm about. And because I was, like, I felt so, you know, I sold myself out. That's how I got started doing drugs, because I couldn't bear dealing with myself, because that wasn't who I was. So then the drugs came about, and then, you know, when you're on drugs, you can't really make sound decisions on your life.
Yeah.
So when you have bad people around you, they're going to just be like, whatever, we don't care. They don't care about you. They just want to, you know, make some money. And so they threw a few deals my way that was just terrible. But being, you know, on drugs and really lost, I just was like, whatever, I don't care. And then one day you wake up from all that and you go, oh, my God. How did I get a sex tape out there? Like, when did this happen? You know, and then you just wake up out of the pits, and you wake up and you look back at all these, like, basically dead bodies, which is, like, my old self, and you're like, who the hell, like, what happened? And you start to reevaluate your life, and I was just at the bottom of the barrel, basically. I was the fucking, I'm sorry.
No, you can curse.
I was like a really degenerate, and you know, that's why I speak out against it so, you know, vocally today, and people think I'm a hypocrite, but in reality, I'm really not, because I experienced it, I lived to tell it, and I'm telling you not to be it.
Totally.
It's not good, you know.
Reminds me, like, Noel Gallagher from Oasis. He said, like, the last time he did coke, he just, like, took a line and looked at everyone around him in the room and was just like, why the fuck do I hang out with these people? And I feel like everyone who goes through like a period of like hanging out with a bunch of like degenerates, like just fucking takes like that hit of the joint and then looks around the room like one time, like, who the fuck are these people and why do I hang out with them?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, yeah, did you have like a moment like that?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about degeneracy is that when you're in that group, you know, they're like parasites. They really don't care about you or your well-being. Everybody's unaware of themselves. Everybody's kind of like a walking, like sleepwalking. And everyone's making bad decisions. So, you know, we have to make a change because I don't want this to start, you know, affecting, like, the future of America and our youth. And now that I'm a mother, that's very, you know, where I stand today, because, you know, mainly like I became a mother and I look back at all that. I'm like, oh my God, we need to make a change. You know, we need to wipe away all this degeneracy. And the fact that people promote it, it's kind of sickening. You know, why would you promote the decay of, you know, society and the decay of mankind and the degradation of our souls, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. That's very true.
Yeah.
This kind of ties in also with the conspiracy theory angle, which we can get into. There's this documentary called Hollywood Casting Couch, Satan's Playground. And obviously it's common knowledge that people exchange like sexual favors for jobs in Hollywood. But this documentary goes like really far into the conspiracy angle. Well, they make all these claims that actors have to do like bizarre sexual rituals, and then they like blackmail them, and it's a bizarre documentary. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah.
And based off your experience, how accurate is it?
I mean, there's definitely very dark sides to Hollywood, obviously, but at the same time, that's probably why I didn't really go that far. I don't know. I was very lucky to not have to go down that route. I mean, I already had a sex tape, so I mean, how much lower can I get? But I can't really speak on other people's behalf and their experiences, because everyone has different experiences, obviously. But with my own experience, I mean, there's definitely lots of blackmail and you know, character assassination and things of that nature. Absolutely. I mean, now that I'm awake and aware of everything, I actually see it as a whole different world. Like, I just...
Yeah, yeah. But you're, when you're saying
it's
about the
kind of heartbreaking.
About the character assassinations that they do on you, do you see the current assassinations, like, aimed at Trump? Like, do you relate to him? do you see a mirror there?
1,000%, and that's why I support him so much. Another reason why I support him so much, it's because I have gone through these character assassinations for years. I understand how it goes, and they play really dirty. I mean, I've had situations where they would just literally make up stuff and slander me, and then I would come back and try to provide the news reporters with the actual information, and they wouldn't change their story. They wouldn't, you know, fix it. They wouldn't change it. They would just kind of leave it out there. They play very, very dirty, from what and I'm pretty sure people remember me from a few years ago, and things got very crazy with me in Hollywood, and they were trying to make it seem like, oh, she's trying to get famous, but I'm literally at my own house. You guys are coming to my house harassing me, and now I'm the one that's, you know, seeking fame. I'm in my own house. So, yeah, it can get very frustrating, but I understand, what's happening to Donald Trump. I totally get it. And that's why I'm such a huge supporter of him, and I think he's doing a really good job handling all of that, because they're coming at him very hard.
And you were the first celebrity to publicly endorse him.
Yes, I was. When he came out last summer, you know, everybody was really just in a shock because of the things he said. And I was the first person who came out to endorse him. I made a video endorsing him, and I got so much crap for it. I really got so much crap for it. Even till today, I mean, I've had people call me and start harassing me, and I mean, it's just never ending.
Yeah, and those are the people who, like, think they're being brave. People who attack you for endorsing Donald Trump.
And
like, they think they're brave for doing that.
they think they're so brave, they're hiding behind the computers, or whatever, and I'm literally just minding my own business. I'm just supporting Trump. I'm not, you know, saying, I'm not going to other people's pages or houses or whatever, but they're literally, like, calling, they've called authorities on me before, literally. I have to deal with constant harassment all the time, and people think that I'm trolling, but at the same time, I actually have to deal with a lot of the, you know, SJWs and the repercussions of supporting Donald Trump and the harassment that I get that seeps into, you know, to my real life. And they try to, they always try when there's nothing else they can gather on me because I'm not on drugs, I don't do any of that stuff, and they can't get anything. So what they try to do is throw my innocent daughter into it, and that's very dirty because they'll try to, you know, twist it in any way they can to try to get you, you know?
Yeah. Because, like, those people are really just, like, the strong arm of the government, of the establishment. Like, you know, like, that's like what Jonathan Bowden said, that, like, the Antifa, the anti-fascists, the SJWs, like, they think they're the rebels, but they're really just the people reinforcing the system.
Yeah, absolutely. And the more, I actually feel like people like myself and Donald Trump and, you know, the people who support him, I mean, we're the ones that's actually being oppressed here. I mean, we're the ones getting severe, you know, getting slandered in the media. I mean, even recently with Antonio Sabato Jr., like, he even came out and said that he's been blacklisted in Hollywood, how, you know, and I recognized that very well when he started saying stuff like that. I was like, oh my God, I could totally relate to him also, because all he did was go to the RNC to support Donald Trump, and then now he's blacklisted, and people are calling him, and, like, you know, we're never calling you again, and just, like, blackmail, and it's just out of control.
Yeah, I saw a picture of Scott Baio, like, from Joni Loves Chachi, and it was, like, this picture from Chachi, and at the bottom it said racist. Like, and they took out Chachi and put the word racist. And, like, these, like, you know, like, leftovers are just, like, sharing that and stuff. And, like, it's funny, I guess. But it's just this, like, the stamp of like, the heretic on it.
Has most of your, like, former friends in Hollywood and celebrities that you've known, have most of them endorsed you? Or you still have are you still friends with a lot of them, and a lot of them are supportive of you?
Well, first of all, you know, people in Hollywood are very sketchy to begin with. So there's very, especially in that world, it's just very cutthroat. Everybody's just out for themselves. So one of the good things about, you know, me having a huge falling out with that whole mess is that it really allowed to, you know, show me who my real friends are. And today it's literally under, you know, I could count it in one hand, my real friends. And there's only, like, one person that's really deep in the industry that I still talk to, that I'm friends with. I mean, the rest are kind of cool, but then there's other people who are kind of like, you know, they try to stay away because they feel guilty by association or whatever. And I feel like those people they're very weak-minded, because you can still be friends with somebody and not feel like, oh, that's not the same views. You can have different views and still be friends with people, you know?
It's getting harder to do that now. It seems like people are just, like, breaking off into tribes. And, like, they don't associate with anyone outside of it.
How have your fans reacted? Have most of your fans been supportive of you, or have you had a lot of your fans disown you because of some of your views?
Well, it's half and half, because, you know, apparently there's a growing fan base for the alt-right, and so I have a lot of support in that area. As far as my normie fans, I mean, I'm probably putting a lot of them in shock right now. I mean, I have a very wide range of celebrities that follow me on Twitter. And so the things I talk about that's alt-right, it really kind of gets out there a lot more. Like, I have people like Snooki and, you know, David Icke. I mean, it's just very...
Snooki alt-right?
The Lizard King. David Icke follows me on Twitter.
Awesome.
David Icke and I should start, like, should go on tour together or something.
No, that'd be amazing. Wait, does Snooki?
Yeah.
Is Snooki alt-right?
Yeah, I mean, she's really cool. You know, I think she has not unfollowed me yet on Twitter, because
like
a lot of people...
She endorsed
I have
Trump?
No idea.
Okay.
I don't think so, but the fact that she still follows me, and, she seems a little bit...
Yeah, that's cool. Because I'm from New Jersey, So.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool.
My state, unfortunately. So, but maybe she'll be fortunate. Maybe she'll be like on the right side, and that'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Maybe I was able to convert her. You know.
Yeah. Cool. And then we'll get Mike the situation, and then like. Then we'll be like totally set.
Yeah, Vinny follows me too.
Oh, cool! That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about like creating like new media? Are you done with the sort of media altogether? Or are you interested in creating a new media?
I think the media as it is now is crap. I mean, I totally left that world. I've had enough of it. I mean, I was just slandered for many, many years, and I'm sure everybody knows that. You know, you look me up, you can see pictures of my face beat up and all kinds of stuff. And there is no, you know, I mean, they just play very dirty. And I definitely think it's a time to either wipe that out because it's actually poison to society. I think it's a very, they played a very big part in the collapse of society, Western world.
Sure.
And I think there needs to be a reform in that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what Chuck Johnson's doing at Researcher. Like, he's just, like, he just, like, found these tapes of John McCain, like, admitting that he was, like, a traitor during, like the Korean War. So, like, the narrative is just getting, like, just slowly dissolving. Like, we're taking control of it. So,
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What do you think about the whole kind of culture? Like, well, there's kind of the troll culture, people who say provocative things to get publicity, and then there's also like the whole like a meme culture as well.
I can understand where, you know, most normal people can come into it for the first time and kind of be shocked and turned off by it, because you know, I admit it is a whole nother level, and But I personally, I enjoy it because it's kind of a way where we can, you know, be joking around, but at the same time kind of slip the truth in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like there's like a collected like consciousness of people that are like thinking on this level, and we all sort of go through the same experiences together, in a way.
Has anyone made a Pepe meme of you yet?
Not that I know of. But I'm going to be at the NPI in November, so I mean we have a few surprises.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So when all this came about, it was hard for me to, because when you know I had my normie friends hit me up, or like you know certain people, they're like, "What's going on?" You know, and then they have their people calling them, and all kinds of people calling my friends, like, "Hey, is this your girl on Twitter? She's going crazy." And, you know, some of my friends get it, my closest friends get it, but then some of the, you know, just acquaintances, they stopped following me, you know, it just came too much for them, even though I told them, like, but I felt like, you know what, there's an important movement going on right now, and I can't really sit here and babysit everyone who doesn't get it.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know, because
it's
not like we want to think the way that we do, but, like, we just, like, know that things are, like, really fucked up, and, like, we just can't continue to just let our societies collapse. Like, you know, for me, like a big experience, like a big turning point for me, like was last year with the refugee crisis, you know, just like seeing like Germany get invaded and people like actually do the humanitarian thing. And you see like, kind of like Rotterdam in England, like all these rapes and like people not understanding there's a problem. And it's just like, I don't know. It's getting to a point where people are really, it's like they're in total self-deception.
And it's kind of, it's very scary because the majority of people out there, because of the media and all that stuff, the people are so brainwashed that they don't see what's happening. And that's what's scary because you'll have like the regular normie friends that will just like turn their backs on you because they think like they're so programmed for so long to think a certain way that when you say something that goes against their system, belief system, they totally have this malfunction and they just get really crazy. Like, they turn into, like, demonic possession type people.
It's like in Blade
Runner.
It's crazy
because they get really demonic. Like, it's very crazy. I mean, I got into a fight with a friend one time. I mean, I don't even know if we're friends anymore, but we had a great time, you know, and then one time we were hanging out and he was just talking about what was going on, and I was talking to him about the trolling, and, you know, and then he started getting really aggressive and started raising his voice really loudly and getting really crazy and turning into somebody else. And I told him, I said, why are you raising your voice? Like, I was like, and then I just left because I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and get attacked by like demonic entities. You know, because they get really crazy. They get really crazy. I don't get it at all.
No, because they're like thinking they're defending for like what's right, but they know what's bullshit at the same time. I mean, they're just fucking lying. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was your political views mostly shaped by your experiences in Hollywood, or have your kind of views, did you have a lot of these views prior to that as well?
No, I mean, it's changed a lot because of the dark experiences I had in Hollywood and the media and like all of that. Because while I was in Hollywood, I was actually a very brainwashed liberal degenerate. Like, you know, I was all like pro all of the, you know, liberal stuff. I was all for it, and because I had no idea what was going on. I was low information, you know. I was
just
very
like taking drugs and like having like group sex and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was just popping and following the rest of what Hollywood was doing, which was like supporting Obama and like, LGBT and like the rainbow flags everywhere. Because I had no idea what was going on. I was just kind of like under a severe brainwash and like, you know, a hypnotized liberal in the, you know, center of Hollywood. And so after all this crap that happened to me, you know, it really was a wake up call. And, you look back and think, oh my God, this is very scary, because all of the brainwashed people out there acting the same way because they're very low information, like how I was, you know? And I woke up, thank God. So no, it was not always this way. Of course not. I wouldn't even have, you know, I probably would have been just literally assassinated if I had these thoughts living in Hollywood. That's why I left and went back to Texas.
And these people, they don't have any principles. They just go with what's the conformist thing to do or what gets seen as, like, high status in that environment.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody out there is just really into, like, partying. They don't really know anything about anything going on with the political world, with world news, or anything like that. They're kind of in their own little world of, like, this la-la land. And then whatever goes down, it's like the DNC, there's all these celebrities, right? And all these celebrities have fans out there. So when the fans watch TV, they're like, oh, well, my idol supports, you know, so-and-so.
Yeah, Lena
Dunham,
and they, like Lena Dunham or something.
Right, they're like these minions, you know?
Yeah, totally. They don't think for themselves at all.
Because this movement wouldn't have started had, you know, it's just like a natural thing, you know? Like, we wouldn't have a counterculture if it wasn't so freaking bad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the alt-right, it sort of is a new counterculture in the same way as, like, the 60s counterculture was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we're the beeps to what the hippies will be in the next generation.
I think
just opening the door for them.
I don't know. I just think people, because for so many years, you know, I mean, the middle class is literally just non-existent, you know, and people have just been tired of getting beat down by society and are, you know, the overlords and, you know, these commies. I mean, it's time to take our country back and focus about, you know, us here, try to fix us here before we start worrying about all these other people, like, you know,
having a
Democrats
nation.
They're always,
having a nation.
Yeah. They're trying to, you know, distract the brainwashed masses by, you know, making us feel sorry for, oh, look at all these people, you know, they didn't come here, but it's like, look at yourself.
They want to make an open society. They want to remove all the borders of the world and, like, make, you know, just like one.
No, it's just terrible.
It's like ridiculous. We have a duty to like stop that from happening.
And you know what's scary? It actually looks like that right now in Houston. It really does. You know, we came to America seeking Western culture, and then you come here now, and it literally looks like you're walking into, like, you know, Iraq or something. It looks
like
Somalia out here. I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm not even trying to be racist or anything, but I'm just telling the truth. When you walk outside, it literally, even my dad, and he doesn't know anything about all that's going on. You know, he's just an old man.
He
told me, and he literally told me, like, a few days ago, he was like, you know, I wonder what happens to all the white people. Where do they all go? And for him to notice how much it's changed, you know, because when he moved out here, it was, like, all white. You know, even my middle school was called, you know, Albright All White because it was, like, all, you know, middle-class white people.
Yeah.
And people would call it Albright All White, and now it's, like, literally, like, it's crazy. I don't even, and when you talk about it, people think you're trying to be racist, but you're not.
Well, it's sort of like, I think they want us to sort of just put up with it and just embrace that this is the way it is. I don't know, I think maybe that's what they think. I don't know. Like, they don't have the will to just kind of say this isn't right to let
They don't want united we stand, divided we fall kind of mentality. So they don't want us to be united and nationalist because, you know, then we'll have an uprising and, you know, take over, which, you know, we should because...
I mean, I'm from L.A. and you spent a lot of time in L.A. Would you say Houston is a lot worse than L.A.?
Yeah, it is. I mean, for a long time there when I was still kind of in, you know, brainwashed, kind of in my hypnotic state for a while, I didn't really notice anything until it slowly started, you know, until I came out here. And then slowly, you know, especially after being a mother, you know, when I take my daughter out, like, I'm tired of having to drive really far into these, like, certain areas where it's a little bit safer.
So there's a lot of crime committed in the Somali neighborhood. It's not, like, safe.
Yeah, absolutely. My friends, they're moving farther away and farther away because of, like, they keep letting all these, like, especially after Hurricane Katrina happened.
Sure.
Everybody scattered and they came to Houston. So it kind of fills up with really, like, you know, crime type of people or whatever.
Yeah.
BLM type of people.
But yeah, so basically you had like white flight happen, like all the white people just moved out.
Yeah, I mean, because even when I was younger, it wasn't this way, because I remember, like, you know, going to school out here, and I mean, it was not like this at all. That's why as years passed, I was like, oh my God, what happened? It severely deteriorated. It looked like a trash can. Like, it literally, like... It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that my friends have to move so far just to get away from it, you know, and we keep having to relocate. I mean, but we shouldn't have to do that.
Did you have, like your car get broken into?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my mom's house, like, she has gates at her house. And then when I came to visit her, she said that... she showed me the backyard, and somebody literally tried to pry open her bars break into the house. What?
And then they don't want us to have guns, you know? It's like,
exactly.
If you're going to make our country that unsafe, at least give us guns to fucking let us protect ourselves, you know?
Exactly.
I'm from L.A., but I... lived in like a wealthy area, but the school I went to was ghetto because of busing. So I was kind of exposed to that. But a lot of the wealthy people in LA are completely oblivious. That even though LA is like that, they're able to shelter themselves.
They're very segregated out there. The thing about LA, because I lived there for 10 years, so I know all about LA too. But the people in LA are very sheltered because they live in their own little la-la land, like Beverly Hills, the Hills. You know, they live far away. I mean, it's not even that far, actually. If you drive 10 minutes east, down to East L.A. or, like, Hollywood Boulevard, it starts getting really trashy looking also.
Or even some of the areas, like south of Beverly Hills, like Pico and La Cienega.
Oh, yeah, totally. But, you know, people in Hollywood, they're kind of in a trance. They pretend like it's not there. They pretend like there's not literally, like, you know, killings going on all over the place while they're in their gated, you know, mansion, going to their mansion parties,
you know?
I have
this idea. Maybe they do know, but they don't want to say it at all because it will, like, mess up their careers. Like, they're just so focused on their career. Like, they actually...
Right.
I realize that, like, I don't think people are that dumb, and I was thinking there's a lot of people who probably are red pill. Like, their IQ is just high enough that they, like, think analytically and they're red pill. Like, they just don't want to say it at all because...
Well, I mean, the thing about Hollywood is, like... Yeah, well, I mean, it's like a mafia out there.
Oh, yeah,
it's run by mafias, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very dark. The way they run things is literally like a mafia, you know? And they will blackmail you. They would stop giving you work, you know? They're star whackers. You know, I mean, it's not what people think it is, you know? It's a lot grimier.
You're from a Vietnamese background. Have you talked to a lot of Asians about these issues, and how do they generally feel about this? Have they been offended by your views to the same degree that, say, white liberals have?
Oh, no. Asians, at least the ones I know, they're a little bit more kind of like me a little bit. But, I mean, not extreme like that. But
yeah.
I have a friend my best friend, actually, she's like, you know, I was actually shocked because she came to me like, you know, I'm tired of these people. They come in my store and they steal everything. And she literally says it's literally the same types of people that come in there and steal. And she's not, you know, she's a manager at a store. And, you know, she's been doing retail for like 10 years. And she literally sees the same types of people coming in there to steal stuff from her. And she's like, why don't you just get a freaking job like everybody else? And she's like, tired of it. She's really tired of it.
Yeah. I mean, like, when I was in college, I hung out with a lot of, like, Asian people. And that's how I got, like, schooled on human biodiversity. Like, you know, like, every Asian person I knew was, like, race realist. Like,
oh my God,
it was based, like,
so
yeah, funny. Like, white dude, you're dumb, you don't know this stuff, like,
right.
Like, people are, you know, like, they just make some dude, like, I have pure blood, you're a mutt, like, all this shit, and then I'm like, oh, okay, like, let me, like, think about, like, what are they talking about, so, like, you know, they just realize, we're like, you know, breeds of people, like, it's scientific, and they just, I don't know, I think people, like, know that, like, they know that, Bulldog is different than a Chihuahua, but like they just don't.
Well, not actually. Some, I think some of them really don't know though, because like going back to the same friend, or maybe we're not friends anymore, that I have that, you know, started raising his voice at me and getting all crazy. You know, I started talking about these issues with the crime and everything, and he's like, did you know that, you know, white men are the ones who rape the most? I'm like, oh my God, you're so cucked out, dude. Like, I can't be your friend right now. I can't even talk to you anymore. I'm leaving. I'm done.
Whoa,
you know, and he was like,
is that
okay
kind of,
with
is that
like
kind of a
like
girlfriend?
No. I mean, it could have been me until that moment happened and I left. No. Because
nice.
I felt like, you know, I would never be with somebody like this who can't be who I...
Exactly. No woman wants to fucking fuck. It's so true. I think, like,
girls
don't want guys to, like... I think girls, like, want to have a guy who acts to cuck to everybody else. But to her, he's, like, real. I think that's what, like, a lot of girls want. Is that... Do you think that's
I don't
true?
Know. I mean, because of all the beta males popping up, it causes the women to have to be more alpha, and it kind of ruins, like, the balance of everything, and that's why everything's kind of, like, upside down right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm sorry if I always emasculate you, but if you weren't already emasculated, it wouldn't be so easy for me to do. So, I mean, yeah.
Since you kind of touched on the whole, like, gender and sex thing, what are your thoughts on the alt-rights of views towards, like, gender roles?
Yeah, like conservative gender roles, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, I agree with that because it's just out of control. I mean, again, with my friend, because I showed him this article about, you know, how this tranny was like breastfeeding his baby. He was a male but female. I mean, it was just awkward and it was just perverse in every way. And he was like trying to stand up for he or she. See how this conversation is so confusing because I can't say if it's a male or a woman. But anyways, he was like, well, it's fine. And I was like, dude, it's not okay. I'm a mother. You're not a father. And for a baby to suck on some male's nipple and say it's okay. He's like, well, how do you know that child's not going to grow up to be? But the fact that you're defending something so vile makes you just vile. And he just kept, went on to defend it because he's so cooked out by the brainwash. I mean, you know, he does live in Hollywood and he's been brainwashed to think this way, to think that it's okay. And he's like, okay, fine. Well, maybe it is a bit, you know, but I'm like, okay, but if, but what, then why are you supporting that? It's not okay. You're throwing children into the mix and they're innocent. They're innocent. And you're trying to mind control their innocent brains already to confuse them. And that's not okay.
Yeah. So like when you talk about conservative gender roles, have you taken like a vow of celibacy now? Like there's certain people like who are like in the alt-right, like in the traditional right, who like sort of see relationships through like, you know, waiting, look, they'll wait to get married to have sex and stuff like that. And I think that's like me personally, like, like I don't like, you know, believe in that kind of stuff. I mean, like, yeah, I don't really think it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like I'm like, the constraints of like religion morally are kind of bad. Personally,
right.
I think there's like some balance that's being made.
I definitely think there needs to be a balance because, but again, you know, this movement might have come about because of like all of the Kim Kardashians and all of these girls online who are just kind of like, you know, putting it all out there and all these, you know, things like Tinder, you know, having sex by swipe. I mean, it's just out of control. So I can understand where this movement comes from. But I do agree that it just needs to have some kind of balance because, I mean, I actually was celibate for a long time there as well. Because I felt like, you know, I'd rather get to know the guy. I don't want to, these guys think that they could just have me with, you know, just sex. And you know, I think that's okay. It's okay for sure, but I don't think people need to really, you know, force other people to do the same thing or anything. It's just like a personal choice.
Yeah.
For me personally, I am more a little bit more, you know, conservative in that sense. I mean, it may sound ironic coming from me. But again, like I said, I've come full circle, you know, who I was in the past.
I was listening to your recent Howard Stern video, Howard Stern interview, I think. That was like 2007?
That was like in 2000, like, 2010 or 11. It was a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was listed as like, maybe it was uploaded 2015. But you sounded like a completely different...
This is what they always do also. They always leak stuff out from like way long ago and make it sound like it just happened. To make me sound like some kind of crazy hypocrite. But really, it's been like 6 years. Going into 7 now. You know, I'm a different woman. I'm a mother. So, yeah, I'm a totally different person. Some people say that I'm a clone. but I would agree. I'm definitely a clone.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not that
liberal.
Yeah, you're
a clone in the new universe or whatever. Yeah, because it's funny because Richard Spencer, like, said that you were, like, some kind of Hindi goddess, like, incarnation of some Hindi goddess. And, like, on Twitter, he said something like that. Me and Robert, like, just did a show, like, a podcast about this idea called, like, the Green Pill. And I think, like, in the mid-2000s, like, I don't know why, maybe we did it to, like, cope with 9/11, but people, like, didn't go full-on red pill. They, like, wanted to see the world in, like, this weird, like, mystical way. Like, that's what it was, all this, like, guided meditation on YouTube and, like, people, like, doing DMT and stuff like that. And I feel like that you kind of, like, went on that path, too, like going through like you have like these like guided meditation videos on YouTube. Then now you've gone to like alt-right. I feel like that's like my people like got to alt-right through like libertarianism. Like we get through alt-right through like weird like this.
You know, I look back at that now and I go, wow, what really happened to me during those times? Because I remember it very specifically. I'm like, I remember just feeling really unattached to the reality I was living in, and the vibrations was very weird. And I started going through I started looking inside myself more.
Exactly,
and then that's when I started making these meditation videos and like, you know, going along with this new vibration, a frequency, and then boom, yeah. you fall down to the alt-right.
yeah, it's so funny. Like, I was like Ram Dass, like, be here now, and, like, all that kind of stuff, like, and just, like, meditate all the time, like, you know, smoke weed, like, incense.
Yeah, you think, like, this enlightenment.
Yeah, but it's, like, a false enlightenment, yeah.
The transition, so you were really into the conspiracy theories for a while, and this is when you were still in Hollywood, that I noticed you made some comments on Twitter that offended a lot of people, and then that's what kind of got you, like, blacklisted, like, you were kicked off of that Big Brother show in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was really extreme, my experience over there, because I'm not trying to be conceited or anything, but everyone could tell that I was really dominating the whole house. All of the other people there, my personality was the brightest. I was, the most. Anyways, and so for them to kick me off over a picture, and the fact that before that, these people came in, they're like, oh, they're talking to me about, you know, the things I can and cannot say, and then I was like, oh, sorry. And I literally said, oh, sorry, I can be kind of spastic sometimes. And they got really upset, and I was like, what? And they're like, you can't say that. I'm like, say what? I didn't even know that spastic was, like, a bad word or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It's good if you're
I just feel really bad for... Yeah, but the thing is, I feel really bad for the people over there, because they literally live in a jail, like, and they think they're free, and they just...
They're not.
I mean, people... Yeah.
Wow.
It's like a total police state over there on the mine, on the streets, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't even know if I ever want to go back there, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, Richard Spencer recently got a ban from the UK.
Really?
Yeah, he got a letter from the Prime Minister.
Oh, my God.
And, like,
wow.
He was saying, like, you know, like, he always, like, kind of LARPs as, like, James Bond. So, like, Richard is like, he got a letter from the Prime Minister, and he's like, oh, what secret mission are they going to make me go on now? I'm like, no, I took your pants.
Wow.
In the UK. So that's why our planet is fucked, because the UK should be, like, telling Richard Spencer to go on secret missions. They should not be telling Richard Spencer to get the help.
Right.
No, he's, like, a smart
that's
guy.
Crazy.
He's, like, a really nice guy. He's like, I don't think there's something dangerous about him. I think, if anything, like, he's such a nice guy. Totally. Like, these ideas, are going to get out there, and someone has to represent them, and I think he's a good representative of these ideas. Like, they're going to get out there.
I think within a corrupt society, you know, people like Richard, who are trying to do good, it's kind of like a threat to these people, you know, these parasites. They don't want to see us thriving waking up the masses. They don't want to see that. You know, that's why he's probably seen as a threat, and that's why Britain, you know, the UK doesn't want him over there. That's why I got kicked off, because I'm also very strong in my views, and I can hold debates, and I have strong, you know, I'm very passionate. So, you know, people like us, we're viewed as threats, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's weird, because I just see myself as being totally moderate and, like, willing to, like, talk to people and have like peace, you know, like, I feel like we like provide like peace, you know, like, and they're the people that provide like peace. Like, we want a world where people can like embrace their own identities, you know, and they want a world where people have to repress identity and just join into this like unity. It's like, so what, we can become, you know, it almost seems like Alex Jones is right or something, and all just going to be like slaves in the system, you know, like, it's metaphorical, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's funny, because they're the ones who are always talking about identity and being different, but they just want to turn everyone into, like, conformist drones.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way they're using, like, psychological warfare on people, I think. You know, they're very good at that, and it causes great confusion in people. And people, you know, they have this fight or flight mentality, and, you know, they just don't want to be, you know, criticized or be called a racist or anything like that. So they're just, like, pretending to stand up for things that they know nothing about, just to, you know, blend in with everybody else. But in essence, if you look at it, because now that I'm in Texas and I look around, and, I, you know, when I'm out with my daughter, you know, she looks really white. And so I'm like, oh, my God, like, we are literally the only, like, light-skinned people around, and it's like this very awkward, like we're like the outsiders, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But that's
it's weird. It's really
like,
weird.
It's like race is like, you know, only like part of like civilization. You know, like, you know, there's people like you who like, you know, you're an identitarian, like you see yourself as being like part of like, you know, the kind of like white populace in America. I think there's like, I mean, I'm like half Jewish, so I guess I'm not white according to the all right. So
yeah.
It's a good minority hour.
Well, I'd rather be living around like a bunch of like, honestly, like corny, peaceful white people who smoke weed than like some kind of like a bunch of thugs that rob and steal and try to break into the house and like beat up your grandparents, you know?
Yeah,
I just, and it's crazy because like I said, in my mom's house, they literally tried to rob her and she's like this old lady and it's like, it's really sad, you know, that it's degraded this far, you know, deteriorated.
Have you thought about leaving Houston and moving to another city, or you think that's kind
of, I have, but it's just that, you know, with my daughter, I still like to be a little bit closer because it's so important for her to be around a lot of family. And, you know, even no matter where we are, as long as we're around lots of family, her cousins, her grandparents, her godmother, you know, and just family, the more the merrier. So I try to stay a little bit closer because, you know, being too far, it would just be us two. And it feels kind of a bit lonely that way, you know. And plus, I'm not a fucking pussy. I mean, I can handle myself. I just prefer not to deal with all the ruckus, but if it comes down to it, like, hello, I actually grew up in the hood, so I'm not really tied to it. So fortunately, I do have my,
my
street savvy, but...
Yeah, but is it still like, difficult for you to be, like, an outsider in that situation? So I feel like, you know, people like liberals will say, like, oh, well, like, you'll feel bad when you're a minority. It's like what you, like, you know, like, to me, it's like, oh, when whites are a minority, then you can just be a hated minority. And they'll
yeah.
do to you what you did to them. But I'm like,
right.
Well, what did I do to them? Like, I was born in 1989. You know, I'm not into, like, racism, you know, like, I know human beings
right.
are different, but, like, you know, we're still, like, still, you know, like, there's other things that can unite us, you know, like, we
I
don't
mean,
have
the
to
hate
hate
on
each
that
other.
End.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the hate on that end is kind of insane because I do have, well, I no longer speak to them, but I did have a few friends that were on the opposite end of the spectrum who were,
yeah.
you know, pro BLM and all that. And they're literally just brainwashed into thinking. And I mean, all this hatred is passed down to them. And I tried to talk to one of them and I was like, you know what? Maybe you should just unplug from the internet sometimes because,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
always like that in real life. It's not really, you know, you can go out and meet really nice people. Not everybody was, you know, out to get you. I think that's
yeah.
in your head. And in the media, what they do is pound that into these their heads and they think like everyone hates them, everyone's against them, so therefore they want to attack you back, you know, they want to fight back because they feel like, oh, you know, the media's feeding them all these lies. And here I am thinking like, well, I have friends who are police officers and like firemen and we're just like normal people.
Yeah,
you know, they'll
yeah.
be sitting here I think you're talking about like, oh, let's go kill some people this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
They think that like I went to this like event and there were these like BLM protesters there and like I just like started this Trump chant and then they left the room. But like the thing is like they probably all thought that like I wanted to like kill them or something. But I'm like that's like not on my mind. I don't want these people to like interrupt an event I'm going to. You know, it's like
right.
Oh the Milo
like,
one.
Yeah, I saw like Milo. Like they project us as being like these big villainous evil people that want to like
right.
kill anyone who's not like us, but we're really not. Like I think
right.
we're like more compassionate because we understand that other people have their identities. You know, like
I mean,
want to make someone
I,
like
I,
me. You know,
that's why I want to help you guys.
Yeah.
No, because my whole track record, no matter where I stood, I've always been on the side of the underdog. always.
Sure,
even,
yeah.
You know, while I always stood up for the underdogs, you know, and that's why, and now I feel like, you know, white people are actually the underdogs right now because they're,
it's hard
there's
for
nobody
to, it's
really.
Hard for people to see that because it's like in the long haul, you know, like we, it's like at a point where some people are like able to see that they can kind of live outside of it. Whereas like
yeah.
you see, you're like directly faced with this stuff every day. And as long
yeah.
as people can like live outside of it, they're still going to act like we're just idiots who deserve nothing. You know?
I noticed that Trump is playing a major role in changing things. The other side is getting more militant and aggressive, but he's also changing the Overton window where people feel more confident to express their views.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that way. You know, I feel like if there wasn't Trump to lead all of this entire movement happening, you know, and all of us kind of popping up and, you know, finding each other, it's kind of scary, you know, but now that we know we have, you know, each other and, like, there's a movement behind us, I feel a little bit more confident when I say stuff because, you know, without Donald Trump, I would have just been kind of me against all of these SJWs and
yeah,
Hollywood
yeah.
people attacking me, and there's nobody to
it
fight back,
like,
you know?
It seemed like the world was just going to go on like that forever, and then, like, something changed.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh, okay, well, I guess, like, you know, I shouldn't be masculine at all. Like, I'm like, oh, that's bad. I guess I, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's weird, you know, because when
well,
you're in
you
this
know,
kind
I guess
of situation,
God-
yeah.
God probably saw the degeneracy happening. He's like, no, no, no. We're going to change things right now because it's going too far, you know. So I don't know. I just feel, but I'm just glad that somebody's doing something finally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of people see, the people who see you as Vishnu or Krishna probably see Donald Trump as like some like Norse god.
Yeah, yeah. They,
people that are taking a lot of DMT.
They think he's like Wotan or
whoever
yeah,
it is. Yeah. Like, the spirit of Wotan.
There's like a debate about whether it's pro-Trump or anti-Trump. The guy keeps it kind of mysterious, but this guy made this like vaporwave Japanese-themed Trump commercial where Trump is like the savior of the world, but then he like destroys everything. Have you seen that
oh.
one?
Oh my god. Wow.
Have you seen that
well,
video?
Well, I mean, no, I haven't.
We'll,
I mean, there's
we'll
so many different
we'll
ones
post,
around.
We'll post it
yeah, please. I mean, one thing that's great about the alt-right is that whoever's coming up with these memes, that they're absolutely, I mean, really good at what they
yeah.
do. They're very, very
yeah.
freaking good at what they do. And I'm actually very proud to be part of a movement that has people that are so, you know, intelligent and these memes are just
yeah, there's like
I freaking
meme
love
magic.
Them. I love
the
them. The meme magic is incredible. It's really
yeah.
incredible.
I mean, you get like it's almost like taking psychedelic drugs looking at some of these memes. Like,
yeah,
really,
yeah. I mean,
it then, really can make your brain like.
And
yeah.
then you see like Hillary trying to you know make jokes and
yeah,
it's so it's so cringy. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
She's
yeah.
doing like the whip and nay nay. Like oh,
yeah.
oh my god. I just died
everyone
of
thought
cringe.
She was having a seizure and she was just doing the watching nay nay thing. It's like you realize how corny she is. But I just love
oh
it, like Donald
gosh.
Trump. Like some people are like whack and they don't realize that he's actually like taller. Like the way he presents himself is awesome, and a lot of people just
yeah.
see him and they're like, "Oh, he's like lame. He's
yeah,
corny." I'm like, "No, he's actually
like he's so
there's something
dumb."
Yeah, yeah. But there is
yeah,
actually
I think
something
that's
impressive
totally...
about him.
He's very smart because he, you know, he's got everybody in his palms, you know, because
yeah,
he's,
yeah.
He's clearly a very, very intelligent man. He knows what he's doing. He's got his shit under control.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote the book, he wrote
know.
Art of the Deal and explained all of his stuff in it.
Yeah.
He wrote the book on how to
yeah.
do this, basically, and know everyone's calling for it.
Have you
yeah.
met Donald Trump?
No, I actually haven't. I mean, the closest... The time I came closest to meeting him was when Jimmy Kimmel mentioned my name to him on his show.
Cool.
Because he's like, you know, people like Tequila supporting you and the audience is all laughing and stuff. And And Donald Trump was kind of laughing. He's like, I love my fans, you know. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, like, you know, like Richard Spencer always talks about this, like, Carl Schmitt thing where it's like friend, enemy. And that's what, like, Donald Trump's like, you're his friend or you're his enemy. So I think that's, like,
yeah.
A lot of people see him like a great leader. You know, I mean, there's if you, like, look at Obama, he doesn't have those qualities at all. He's just,
right.
like, he's not a leader.
Right.
Where do you see yourself, the direction you're taking in the future? What are some of your long-term life goals and some of your short-term plans as well?
Long-term, well, I hope to have more children and get married, of course, one day. And I don't really know, because everything is changing so fast, you know? But short term, I mean, you know, I've had some people call me up about Hollywood stuff, but I'm like, you know what, let's not joke, let's not pretend here, okay? I'm pretty sure I'm blacklisted from there, and I'm pretty sure any interview that, you know, people want to have with me, it's not really to, make me look good.
Oh, yeah,
so,
they just want to get some, like, Daily Beast article. And, like, make you
right.
say something, and all the brainwashed people that can't think for
right.
themselves are like, oh, she's so evil.
Yeah, because I've had some people, you know, that I used to work with come, you know, to me and ask for interviews or whatever. But I had to politely kind of pass, because I'm like, you know, I don't really care about fame right now. I've had that all my life. I don't care for it. I'm not thirsty. I'm not doing this for fame. I'm literally doing this because I want a better future for my daughter. So y'all can fuck off.
Yeah. Oh, that's
you
the
know,
thing.
Like,
I think people who, like, a lot of millennials, they are, you know, childless and just, like, you know, going on Tinder and, like, fucking whoever. And, like, just, you know, like, people don't have, like, long relationships at all. I mean, it's really, it's like a weird, it's a weird environment. People can't, those people can't relate to people who have children. The way I think would be different if I had children, you know? So it's like, that, like, when you became a mother, it's like you probably saw the world completely differently.
It's completely changed my life. I cannot see my life right now if I was not a mother. I'd probably just be a worthless, you know, dead person somewhere, drugged out. I just, having a child, it brings so much quality to your life and purpose. And it sounds so cliche, but everything I used to hear, it's so true. And all my friends out here are actually married with children, so I'm actually surrounded by, like, non-degenerates. No,
yeah, do you feel, like, healthier?
I do. That's why I look healthier. I'm not on drugs, and, you know, and I'm just better, just everything, you know. Spiritually, I'm no longer, like,
yeah, do you
dead
meditate?
Soul. Do I meditate? Yeah, I mean, I've been meditating since I was, like, 11 years old.
Oh, cool. Did
and
you,
then,
like,
well,
from
was,
a family
yeah.
member?
Yeah, well, my parents, they're like, Buddhist monks and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, cool. I know a lot
and
of
I was
people,
raised,
like, became, like, Catholic, converted, so that's cool that they stayed Buddhist.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it's a nice change, because this is actually what I've wanted for many years. When I was kind of lost in Hollywood, I really wanted this, what I have now, you know?
Yeah.
But in Hollywood, people there, the guys there were so lame. Everybody's like these robot people, like you're talking
yeah,
about. Like
yeah,
yeah. And the minute you show somebody that you like them, or like, hey, I miss you, they try to be all like, oh, well, she misses me. Like, she has feelings. I don't like her. You know what I mean? People
yeah,
are weird.
Yeah. It's like, there's like this weird detachedness where everyone wants to do everything for themselves. Like, I don't know, but I think it's probably rooted in I think they're, like these people just doing it, just rooted in weakness. But maybe
yeah,
it's just, like, they're like super self-consumed. I don't know. Probably both.
Yeah, there's, like, this service to self people, the parasites, and then there's
yeah,
service
yeah.
to other people who,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. It's weird, like, that we care about
yeah.
other people, and we're the ones that are seen
yeah.
as evil, and they're the ones who just, like, look at themselves and, like, look at how, like, you know, they think they're helping other people, but the only reason they're helping is to, like, look good themselves. Like, total, like,
and
so
honestly, yeah, I mean, to be honest, when I was in Hollywood and I knew all of, like, the really elite, rich people, and I'm going to be honest, Not a single one of them were happy. You know, I'm telling you right now, like, people think, like, all this money and fame will get you happiness. Those people are the most, you know, kind of messed up that I know. they had a lot of things going on that was, they were, like, unfulfilled and very unhappy. And all my friends out here, they're living the simple life, but they all have kids, they're happy with children, and we go on play dates, and, like, you know, we go to, like, go swimming and go to, like, little barbecues, and it's just...
You have, like, a more peaceful
life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, did you feel like that thing you were in before? I think, like, me and Robert had this kid on who called it, like, it was not a kid. He was in his 30s. But, we had this guy, Donato, on. And he just said, like, a lot of people stay in, like, in their mid-20s and even, like, in their 30s. Like, they're on this thing called, like, the carousel. And it's like a playground.
Carousel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
so
what?
It's like they're in a playground. And so they're, like, they get out of the playground or off the ride at, like, 30. And it's, like, you're, like, out of the ride. And, like, you see, like, life doesn't need to be, like, just getting fucked up and, like, getting fucked. Like, it's
totally.
So weird how people think that that's all life is, you know. And like,
it's crazy because I have a few people that are still like that are in Hollywood. They're like, they always make posts like, oh, I could never have kids, but they're being brainwashed, you know. And they're like,
they
well, at least I don't
dogs.
Have. They literally think like, you know, because I joke around sometimes like, oh, having a kid, you'll never need a snooze alarm anymore because the kid wakes you up or whatever. And they're like, oh, this is the great thing about not. I'm like, no, because she fulfills my life in every way. The real love and everything you do, it's no longer like pointless, you know. It's like,
you have a sense
so
of duty,
much fun
purpose.
To like,
Yeah,
and it's a lot of fun. And the fact that my friends just call up to do normal things like, hey, do you guys want to come to, you know, birthday parties? And we have, like, these kiddie birthday parties. And do, like, fun stuff, like, innocent fun stuff and not, like, always doing drugs and getting wasted and having the hookup culture and, like, you know, never calling each other again. It's, like, so monotonous, like, robots, like, literally dead zombies, you know?
Yeah, people think that that's, like, those things are the most fun things. But they're actually some of, like, the most tedious, boring, awful things, like, you know, sometimes it's cool to go out to a nightclub. Sometimes it's cool to go to like 10 a.m.
I don't get it. I mean,
but like, it's not good, you know.
You found all this, the culture in Hollywood to be really empty and soulless. But was it sort of this gradual process? At first, initially, was it very exciting?
I would have to say that in my experience, I've always been kind of my own person. So when I first moved out there, I was like 19, 20. I was very, very young. And of course, very hot. So I had all these like vultures around me, and because I was so young, I looked like I was 16 or 15 because I was such a young looking girl. But anyways, a lot of my friends out there, when I first moved out there, they were very caught up. Like, I had people like Justin Timberlake at the clubs, and my friends were like, oh my God, Justin Timberlake. And I just didn't get it. Cause I was, in my mind, I thought like, you know, I'm not a groupie because, I'm just like, I'm going to be famous too one day, and I'm not going to bow down to some random like Justin Timberlake, no offense. But the girls around me were
like the prince or something. You know?
I was never like those people, you know. They get really caught up into meeting celebrities, getting into cool parties. But the funny thing was, because I didn't care, I somehow made it before they did because I just really didn't care. So when they would offer me stuff, I was like, whatever, I don't fucking care, you know?
Well, yeah, you just kind of did it for yourself. I mean, it's so weird how many people just want to be famous. That's like what they want to do. And like, instead of just being like you were just yourself and people like saw you and were like, that's someone we should like
for being famous,
have on our show, you know?
Being famous just for being famous as opposed to even having an identity.
And do you notice how all the clones out there now, they all look like a Kardashian or something? Because everybody out there is so unoriginal. It's kind of creepy. Nobody's like original anymore. They're all like drones. We literally live in a dead society of people, like walking dead.
Yeah, they call it the walking cock.
Like, don't have kids with them.
We are getting towards about at the end of the show. Tila, is there anything else you'd like to add towards our to our audience and any message you want to get across?
Well, not really. I mean, I just hope that, you know, I think that we're living in a very exciting time right now. So regardless, whether you're a zombie or not, you should be glad that you're witnessing something great happening
awesome.
Right now. So,
yeah,
let's make America great again.
Yeah, we'll see you at MPI.
Awesome.
Our,
see you guys there.
Yeah, we'll have our huge fan base come out and ask for autographs. So,
oh, cool. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Tila, it's been a great show. Thanks for being on.
Okay, cool. Thanks, you guys. I had fun.
See you guys.
All right, bye.
That's all we have for today's show, so take care, and we'll be back with you next time.